I am so blessed to be here, to be at home with my fellow brothers and sisters, and it's always a privilege to be here. I don't get a chance to come quite as often as I did because once a month when we were meeting with the FMAC group, I was able to come more frequently. But nevertheless, I just want to take the time out and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this occasion, because it is well deserved. And Pastor Walker and Sister Francine, Elder Francine, we just so appreciate you for what you've done. And not to prolong the time, but I need to just say this because of all of the years that I've known him, and also his family, his wife and children, I may not know them as intimately as some of you do, but through observation, his life has been a statement. Elder Francine's life have been a statement that has impacted our lives over the years. And if I had to sum it up in one word, I would simply say steadfastness. Steadfastness. And so that is something that inspires me to continue to move forward. I've been with him, and I won't go into detail, but one particular occasion, we were meeting for one of the FMAC meetings, and that was a turbulent time for him. And I saw that his steadfastness, once again, was a great encouragement for those who were experiencing the attacks of the enemy. And so we're privileged today to just honor you and to bring the Word of God so that we can be enriched through the Word of God. So I praise the Lord for you. Let's just praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a supporting wife and my children as well. One of them is with us. Natalie was playing the drums there. She's sitting over there. Glory to God. But I thank God for my biological family, for my lovely wife, and how she's been right there by my side. So, Bishop, you're not the only one that has a wife that really stands by you. I just want you to know that this young lady, she's a soldier. Amen. Praise the Lord. And for those who came with me today just to celebrate, they make sacrifices as well. And I just want to just say praise God for the local family of the body of Christ. Amen. God bless you. You make my heart feel good. Hallelujah. So I praise the Lord for all of you. And I thank God for all of the ministers and the apostles and deacons and all of the staff here at Cross Culture. I know that none of this would be successful without your help, the ushers and the media team and all of the various auxiliaries. We praise God for you as well. Amen. So if I could at this time, if you would just lift your hands and have a word of prayer. I honor the Lord who is the head of my life. For without you, God, I would be able to do nothing. I honor you for this privilege, Lord, and I thank you for traveling grace coming here. I thank you, God, just for your love and your compassion. So, God, I ask that you would bless your humble servant, Lord God, as I share with this congregation tonight, Lord, your word. Let there be words of simplicity and clarity that our hearts and our minds will be enriched as we leave this place. Impact us, oh God, with your word so that we can impact those who are around us. And help us to maintain the vision, God, that you've given to us as individuals. The great commission to go out and to tell the world about the love of Jesus. So God, I honor you, Lord, and I thank you because you are my very present help in every time of need. So we thank you, God. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. a prelude to the message tonight, I first of all just want to extend an invitation. I know this might be a little bit backwards, but that's just the way God is. He doesn't start from the end, amen, from the beginning rather. He starts from the end, and that's the way he sees us, as being complete in him. And so I just want to say that if you don't know Jesus Christ, it is such a privilege to know him, to be able to talk to him and to just whisper your deepest concerns. He knows all about it. And so he's no stranger. He does not want to be a stranger to any of us tonight. So if you have not received him, you're missing out on a blessing. You know, the chastisement of the Lord brings discipline into our lives so that you and I can be productive as the ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we have an assignment. Each one of us, we have an assignment, and we are considered to be royal priests. And as I look out in this audience, there are many of you who have given your lives to Christ and you've walked with him for many years, but there's not a day or a night that comes that God is not mindful of you where you are in your present walk with him. And so if I could, for just a brief moment, talk to you, our topic for this evening is the privilege of maintaining spiritual purity. Now, I want you to understand that it is a privilege, first of all, to be able to maintain spiritual purity. For some people, they may say, well, that's a struggle, because all of us, we have areas in our lives where we struggle. It doesn't have to always be in the area of sexual impurities, but in every aspect of life, we find that the enemy wants to infiltrate our minds and cause our ears to be dull to the word of God. Even when we try to pray, oftentimes you find a heavy sleep try to come over you. I know I'm not the only one that experienced that. But the enemy doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to study the word of God. And he wants us to have a dull ear when it comes to hearing the word of God. But none of us could be standing here. None of us could be here in this audience had it not been for the grace of God. Amen? He has bestowed upon us a special grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And sometimes that becomes a cliche with many. But when I hear the name of Jesus, it does something in my inward parts. It allows me to know that I have a friend. Even though he chastens me because I'm one of his sons, and whom the Lord loves, he will chasten, believe me. But it's for our good. It's really for our good. Amen. And so we've been given a treasure, the Bible says, in these bodies, these frail human bodies. And so we find in the scripture, for those of you who would like to look at this passage, I believe we'll have it on the monitor as well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Amen. And the scripture says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure," and I really want you to emphasize this, that we have been given this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So if I could take just a moment and define spiritual, and we're talking about spiritual, but impurity, as it is defined, spiritual impurity is a condition of being contaminated, being polluted, being infected, or considered unclean. And that's saying a whole lot, but if you could just take a moment and just think about your human anatomy and how God has blessed you to be put together, and yet in such a frail human body. With all of us, we have the opportunities to fail at our best. And I know you may not understand that, but we have this opportunity to fail at our best. When we put our first foot and our best foot forward, and we do everything, and we study, and we prepare, and we say, well, Lord, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to walk according to your grace, and I'm going to be encouraged in you, and yet at our best, we'll find that we'll sometimes plunder. We'll sometimes fall. We'll sometimes be abusive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our tongue will say things before we even know it, and our thoughts sometimes are not pure as they should be. When we have situations that come in our path, sometimes we find ourselves drifting. Drifting when no one else is present but you. That time of being isolated, that time of just being in solitude, sometimes we find that there's a presence that will lead us to that way in which God has delivered us. Thoughts that go back, times when we were in the world. Come on, somebody. Amen, glory to God. Now, I don't need the amens, but we thank God for them. It just kind of helps a little bit. But think about your human anatomy. If you don't bathe, somebody said that earlier. If we don't bathe on a regular basis, then we our bodies will begin to perspire, and there will be a stench that comes from this old body. And it's not very pleasant at all. Amen. This is not something that you can just do by faith now. When you talk about cleansing, purifying your natural body, and I want to just take this on home, because spiritually it's not just by faith. Well, Lord, I know that you're going to cleanse me. Lord, I know that you're going to bathe me. No, it doesn't happen like that. God gives us faith to believe in his word. But then there is a practical application that causes us to take a part in bathing ourselves. Otherwise, we will be contaminated. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, in verse 26, tells us that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. Amen. And I love that, because the word of God searches deep. The word of God goes beyond even our natural ability to comprehend. And I love the Lord for that, because there are things that will be cleansed, things that pertain to our thought patterns, amen, things that deal with our conduct, the way we act, the way that we speak. God's word begins to expose things that maybe we weren't even thinking about, areas that we have not forgiven. When we thought that we had forgiven, but someone years ago had mistreated you, and you never really forgave them. And then 20 years later, you see that person and you're reminded, you did this to me. You did that to me. And something on the inside begins to stir up in us, and we know that it's not of God. And we have to cry out and say, God, I know what your word says. Even though we know what the word says, then we have to understand that God is the one that has to sanctify us. He has to cleanse us, because on our own, it's still something rising up when we see that person that we thought that verbally we forgave. But we remember the situation. 5 years old, you beat me up, took my candy. I never forgave you. That's my own personal testimony as a Cito, I never forget his nickname. Cito, yeah. Cito was a rough brother. He was much stronger than I. He was twice as tall. But we were both liking the same little girl. First lady, you don't know about this one. Amen, but she was a sweetheart. She was just a sweetheart. And I had already set my eyes on her. And Cito said, no, sir. That's my girl. And as big as he was, amen, as strong as he was, I wasn't going to back down. And I tried my best to handle that young man, but he beat me to a pulp. And I never forgot it. And it was years later, even after I got saved, I remembered Cito. And God brought him back up in my spirit. And I said, God, I haven't forgiven him. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive Cito. Amen. Help me, God. Help my unbelief. So that girl was fine. But see, when I met First Lady, I'm going to go ahead and clear this up now. When I met my wife, then that little young lady, she just disappeared in my memory. Amen. Glory to God. Did I clear that up? All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, we got to seek the Lord daily. This is a daily walk with him. In order for us to be purified spiritually, to be cleansed spiritually. And so I'm encouraged each and every day of my life to seek the Lord even more. I've been preaching this word of God for some years, but preaching and living the word of God are two different things. And as much as I strive to live and to do the things that God has called me to do, I am constantly reminded, placed under scrutiny, amen, by my family, my indwelling family, my wife and my children and my grandchildren. They hold me accountable. And granddaddy, you said that they call me G-Pop. G-Pop, you said that you were going to give me $5 for every A. And I'm running a little short that day anyway, and I try to make an excuse. Well, you know, they'll put the scripture on you too. See, that's the thing about growing up, raising your children up in the admonition of the Lord. They'll quote a scripture on you. Amen. They'll let you know that you're not to be indebted to anyone. Pay me my $5, G-Pop. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jeremiah, if you would turn your attention to Jeremiah 17, and these scriptures are familiar to most of us, but you'll see an illustration here of the condition of the heart, and yet you see that in the middle of that depiction is a heart that has love, and if you don't know it, God is love, and you can talk to me right now. Just say this with me. God is love. And the love of God, this is our theme at the body of Christ for this, it's the love of God that constrains us. Amen. That was our theme. And so we find that it's his love, even after we've been purged, even after we've been blessed to be saved, then God requires of us to continue to trust him. Because in our hearts, there are roots that will try to spring back up. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking. I know you started at age 9 and start preaching at 11, but there's still some things that will try to just come up. And if we're not careful, we'll find that we're just not a match. And that's what God really wants us to know. And that is that we're not a match for the enemy. We must come to that conclusion that our dependency is upon him. You can't do it. Grandmama can't do it. Pastor can't do it. But only Jesus Christ can do it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? This is the New Living Translation. But only God really knows this old deceitful heart. And when we come to know Jesus Christ, thank God for the blood, hallelujah, that washes white as snow. Thank God for the Lamb that shed his precious blood for you and I. Thank God for the stability of mind that only he can give. And so what he does is that he comes in and he takes all of those things that were once, they had dominion in our lives. They They would reign in our thought pattern. They would reign in the things that we would strive to do. And Paul said, what I want to do, those are the things that I'm not capable of doing. The things that I want to abstain from, those are the things that I gravitate towards. And you and I, we have those same issues to contend with. Oh, we just got to be real. But God has blessed us. He's blessed us to know that even though we can't begin to understand in the fullness, the deceitfulness that is within our own hearts, God is the only one that can cleanse us. Amen. Aren't you glad today? So I want to conclude in this message as we move forward into it, because we have to know how then can we maintain purity? How can we continue on a daily basis to live a life that is pleasing to God when we have this treasure hidden in this frail earthen vessel? How, God, can I refrain from thoughts when I don't even want to think that way, but those thoughts come anyway? How can I separate those things and know how to continue to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to me? And so we must learn, first of all, how to distinguish the difference between our fleshly desires, amen, and we have to know how to distinguish the spiritual desires in order to please God. We have fleshly desires that come to our thoughts, and yet there are spiritual desires that God places within us, because we have identified with him as sons and daughters. Amen. And so it's the Spirit of the Lord that quickens us, makes us sensitive to the things, amen, that are pleasing in his sight. And we must trust him that as he speaks to us, that we're careful not to grieve Holy Spirit. How many of you know that we can grieve him? Amen. We can say, well, I hear you, but I still feel that this thing that's compelling me to move forward, even though I know that that's the wrong road, that I'm going down the wrong corridor, but yet I just feel like I can handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. We must put our trust in the Lord, amen? But we must be able to distinguish, and the devil is not going to tell you not to go down. He's going to always give you a reason to justify what you're doing. And we can be saved, and yet the enemy will come at us from a Christian perspective. Oh, he'll use the scripture, and he'll twist it around, and he'll let you know, well, God understands, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. And so God understands. His grace will cover you. But I want you to know, amen, that grace is not something to play with. Amen. We've got to learn how to distinguish between these two. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Amen. This is what God tells us. He says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Amen. Glory to God. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We who are born again and have his spirit abiding within us have the mind of Christ. I'm going to say this again. You and I who are born of the Spirit of the Lord, we have the mind of Christ. What is this saying? Because I find myself faltering along the way. I find myself sometimes slipping. I find myself doing stuff that I know I shouldn't do. But we have the mind of Christ. That means that God has placed his desires within our heart to do the will of God. David experienced when he sinned with Bathsheba, and he went to a place that he already knew that he shouldn't go. You got to understand that Satan knows those soft areas. He knows whatever your flavor is, and he'll present it to you. Oh, yes, he will. It may not be a Bathsheba for you, but it might be something else that really someone else is struggling with, or they're not struggling with, but you're struggling with. It may be greed because you just love to work. And the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. Your children are growing up before you. And you're working. And the enemy, he says, well, you know, God says that if you don't provide for your family, you're worse off than an infidel. He'll quote a scripture to say, well, I'm justified now. But see, God is compelling you. No, you're working 2-3 jobs. You're not at home. And your wife and your children are there, and they miss you. I'm talking to somebody prophetically. Amen. Amen. God is saying you're working too much. Slow it down. Slow your roll. Amen. Spend some time with your family. That little money that you're making, it's always going to bills anyway. It's always going to unexpected situations and circumstances. But when you put me first, then all those things that have been breaking that you've been having to spend your money on, I'll make sure. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. I'll make sure that all your need, according to my riches and glory, will never vanish. They'll never run out. But you got to put things in priority. And understand that it's time now for you to spend a little more time at home with the family. God knows you got to work. He knows that I must do the things in order to sustain my livelihood, but I must put him first. Amen? I love the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And so God says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, we're still talking about how do I maintain this purity. Isaiah, he tells us, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson. Amen. God, he'll purge and he'll wash them. Amen. We become white as wool. What an awesome God that we serve. He loves you and he's mindful of you, and he's not going to tell you to be pure, to be holy, even as he is holy, if he doesn't give you the tools, the necessary abilities to do it. And so we understand now that we're coming to a conclusion of this message, but God says, I've already made a way for you. Amen. I've already provided for you a way and the means and the know-how so that you can live a pure life. And he says that my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for everything that you need. Don't you worry, my grace is sufficient. And I know that there are many doctrines that are out here in mainstream. And some of them, I always say this, be careful how you talk about the grace ministries that are going forward. Because about 85% of that is true. It's just that little small portion. When you feel as if you can tell God what to do, when to do, and how to do because of his grace. When you feel like, God understands and, you know, I don't have to repent anymore. God has already done the finished work and on Calvary, he's already blessed me now. And so he knows where I am now. He knows my future. He knows my past sin and they're all forgiven. And I don't have to forgive nobody. But my Bible says over in 1 John, amen, that we must confess. And if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It ain't no big and little sins. All unrighteousness is sin. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Titus 2. This is where I always refer to when we talk about grace. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 13. Amen. Glory to God. In my conclusion, it says, amen, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, amen, that we should live soberly. This is what the word of God teaches me about grace. That I must live soberly. I must live righteously and godly. Now, he didn't say when I get to heaven. But he says while you're here on this earth, right now, you are a living epistle. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's looking at me. They'll read you before they read their Bible. Why is it important that we live righteous? Why is that we live soberly in this present world? Amen. That the blessing of hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll come and he'll say, well done. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. Well done, sister. Amen. You put me first. Even though you were presented with great opportunities and great doors of opportunity open to pull you away from me, but you were steadfast. You were unmovable. You were always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well done. Amen. God has made provisions for you and I today. Amen. To live a life free from condemnation. Aren't you glad when you read the scripture there in Romans 8 and 1? And it tells you there's now therefore no condemnation. Isn't that a blessing? That you don't have to have condemnation. Amen. To those who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh now. See, once again, we must live sober. We must be pure. Our thoughts must be maintained by Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you won't have thoughts that come to your mind, but when they come, amen, you have an advocate. Amen. Holy Spirit will bring it to your attention and say, no, you can't dwell on that one, bro. Well, I got it. You know, I'm mature. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and that's no temptation for me. Don't play with God. When you're tempted, it's simply because you're drawn away of your own lust. James talks about it. Amen. It's not that God is going to tempt you, but in our flesh, in that inward part, there is something that wants to rise up in us and say, you can do it. God understands, but the Holy Spirit will let you know. Amen. That my grace comes to teach you to refrain from those things that are not pleasing to God. So in closing, I want you to be encouraged today. To know, amen, that God is faithful and he's just. To know that he is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. What a mighty God we serve, amen, when we learn that he is our dependency. When we learn, amen, not to walk in our own thoughts. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen, talk to me. I know what your thoughts are, but reveal those things to me. See, God wants us to be transparent before him. He says, I know what you're doing is wrong, but talk to me. You've already struggled. You've already been trying to overcome this for years, and you're still, amen, being snatched. You're still being deprived of the blessing, but come. Come to me. See, you've been looking to others to approve or disapprove you, but come to me. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. We think this is just an introductory scripture in Isaiah when we're just getting saved. But no, once we get saved, God says, I'll still cleanse you. I'm the only one that can do it. I'm the only one that can purify you. So my last thought is be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Trust in him as the Lord blesses and he continues to speak to your hearts through the angel of this church. And for others who will come by his summon, because he's not going to just let in and everybody come and feed you without approval. I believe that. I'm the same way. You know, it's a lot of folk. I'm sorry. Amen. You can't just eat from that table. I know that's what your pastor, no, not that one. Not this time. Mm-mm. See, we got to have a life. We must strive. None of us are capable of living this life of purity on our own. But let us trust in the one that's more than able. God bless you. God keep you. Love you. Happy 38th. Amen. We love you so much. God bless. Hallelujah. We give you the glory, God. We give you the honor. Glory to God. This is always the most important time after the Word of God comes forth. And that is where we extend an opportunity for you who may not know him. I say this often. It doesn't matter how long you've been attending church. It doesn't matter how many times you actually came to an altar. If you don't get it right, then it's something missing. And I know we have some helpers here that can come to assist. But if you're at a place in your life where you don't have the total assurance of your salvation, don't let this day pass. People are leaving here every day, young as well as old. And God would never try to use a scare tactic. It is a privilege to have the assurance of salvation. It is a privilege to walk in the light even as He is in the light. It is a privilege to know that you're not alone. If God is speaking to anyone tonight by the sound of my voice, and you have doubt in your heart whether or not you'll be saved, if Jesus were to come back right now, you ask yourself, would I live eternally with the Lord? Now is the moment. Now is the time. Thank you. Now is the opportunity to get it right. For those who know the power of prayer, would you pray with us? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word never goes out void, but it accomplishes that in which it has been sent forth to do. And although we need encouraging as believers, Lord, if there's one here today, or however many that are here by the sound of my voice who don't have that assurance, let them make the enemy a liar today. Give them the boldness to stand and to come forth and to proclaim that which you already know. So, Father, we ask your blessings and your grace to be upon every heart right now, that you'll move in a very special and a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a hallelujah shout. Thank you.
This morning's message and tonight's message is tonight's message or this afternoon's message paralleled. How God is speaking something about, as we think about maintaining spiritual purity, how do we get our hearts right and align ourselves with the will of God so that He can do through us what He desired to do. See, the Lord is willing, but are we willing? That's really the question. Are we willing? Have we postured ourselves for the Lord to so use us? And I trust that we are being postured as we hear the word of the Lord. This is a part of the posturing, is hearing what God has to say to us and then taking the word to heart so that we do some introspection and say, Lord, what part of this And how shall this be applied? That's a better way of putting it. How should this be applied to my life? Rather than looking around, well, we wish somebody else would have been here, such and such and such. But how can this be applied to my life so that I can be all the better? And none of us are exempt, but all of us must look, do some self-examination when we hear the word of the Lord that goes forth. So we praise God for the word. Thank you for being used by the Lord to share what was shared here tonight. And we're down to the last week of celebration. This is next week. Next week really, because Sunday is the beginning of the week. So this week, and then we go to Sunday and Wednesday of next week. We'll be concluding a full month of celebration as we celebrate 38 years. Amen. 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 And we so appreciate all of our speakers and the impartations that have been made. And this time we had Prophet Barrett as well as my brother, but we had those that are spiritually related as well. We wanted to hear from them so that we can hear their hearts and their impartation to the rest of us. So tonight, that's what we have received. So as we prepare our hearts to give unto the Lord, we want to come to, this morning we were challenging that, is giving ahead, understanding where are we headed and what is our destiny, how can we give into our future. And I believe that that's the posture that God would have us to take even in our giving. We are tithers because that's just a part of the integrity of heart. We talk about purity of heart. The integrity of our heart is to be faithful to God in what God requires of us, understanding that in that we are saying, Lord, I am acknowledging your full ownership of me. And it is saying that all that I have and all that I am belong to you. That's what you're doing when you tithe. You're saying, I am acknowledging your full ownership of me. And then we go beyond that with an offering to the Lord. Say, Lord, I just want, since God is an extravagant God, because he doesn't just give us what is necessary, but God takes us beyond the necessary. Because if we just had what was necessary, that meant that we would just have enough, just enough food to eat to survive. Just an amount of clothes just to keep from being naked. You see, that's just enough. No, that's God that's doing, he's supplying our need, right? He's supplying our need according to his riches and glory. Just enough clothes to put on so that you're not naked. Just enough food so you won't starve. You see, just enough strength to walk to church or whatever, or catch a ride to church or walk to church. But he goes beyond that. He's extravagant. You didn't walk, many of you, there have been some that walked, but majority of you didn't walk to church. You rode to church, and you didn't ride in a Humpty, did you? You see, if you said, well, Lord, supplying your need. If it's a car, just enough energy, just good enough car to get you to where you need to go. It didn't have to be anything of any worth, just enough to get you to where you want to go. You follow? When you that are married, just enough woman to get by. But he take you beyond that, didn't he? He said, you had to be beautiful. She doesn't have to be, had to be all that, you know, just enough just to get by. You know, she's at least, I don't, it doesn't hurt my eyes to look at it, but, you know, but she's just enough. The fella just enough to get by. But what does God do? He takes us beyond what would just be the amount necessary.
Yes, Lord.
Which shows us how extravagant God is.
Yes, he is.
How extravagant. He gives us more than enough. He more than enough. More than enough. Say that with me. More Hallelujah. Than enough. That's what God supplies to us. More than enough. And when God does that, what are we doing? We're appreciating the abundance that God has provided for us. Now, when you think about the abundance that God has provided, it is talking about God's extravagant love towards us. So we give unto the Lord when we serve God, you see, just enough is saying, well, I'll show up. That's just enough. At least I'm doing more than most. Well, I'll do this. I'll do this little thing that you told me to do. Just enough. If I'm supposed to clean up, I'll make sure that if I see something, I'll pick it up. No, but you go the extra mile. You go the extra mile because you're appreciating God's abundance and his extravagant love. So when it comes to giving, the same thing must apply. What are we saying? Lord, you're extravagant God. You're God that go beyond what is necessary. Let us have the same heart mindset. I was challenged some years ago I was at the Haggai Institute banquet. In fact, I read the book by a fellow by the name of Ralph Dodera. He's a businessman. I think he's in Virginia, Virginia Beach. But he wrote a book that's called The Conundrum. Wealth Conundrum. It's called Wealth Conundrum. And one of the things that Ralph Dodera was saying, he wanted to die poor. He wanted to die broke. He said because what his objective was is to have given it all away before he succumbed to death. That's his objective. I had opportunity to meet him, and I told him, I said, man, I want to learn something from you. What he's really saying, and here's what happens. You read his book, Wealth Conundrum. It talks about how he began to give and give and give and give. And then God required of him to give something that was, he said to give money was easy now because he's been doing it for a long time. But he had a sports car. It was a sports car that he treasured because it's rare. It had all the whistles and bells. And he just really took time to get it and to get it just like he wanted it. And he said, of all things, God spoke to him and said, now, I want you to give it away. Now, Lord, I'll give the amount of money that's sufficient enough to buy one. He said, no, I didn't tell you to give the person enough money so that they can buy their own. I want you to give away the one that you treasure. That's a test, isn't it? He said, that was really a test. But what happened, he had to give that car away. But what God was testing him in, God was getting him in position to receive even all the more in abundance from him. He said, what happens, the more he gave away, the more God gave to him. And I don't know what he received from giving that car, but he talked about all the things that came to him as a result of passing that test. The test of giving that which was most precious to him away. And I think about it. I say, how many of us would have passed that test? How many of us would say, you see, I don't mind giving money. I don't mind giving something that I can give without feeling the pain of loss. But when it comes to sacrifice, watch what the Lord says. He didn't say, I didn't just give a sheep, a goat. I didn't give a heifer, a dove. What did he give? He gave his only begotten son. He didn't tell Abraham to sacrifice. He said, bring me a sheep or whatever, a lamb. He said, bring me your son. That's extravagant love. It's when we're willing and ready to offer that which cost us most. When David was offered the water, here he was. He wanted that precious water from the wells. I think it was from the wells of, where was it now? Abdullon? And what happened? It was so precious to him that he didn't want to, he couldn't drink it. He said, I can't drink this. But he poured it out and offered it to God. Now watch what he was saying here. He was saying that why it cost you your lives. It was a sacrifice of their lives to get the water. They really put their lives at risk to bring him the water. He poured it out and offered it to God. Now they would have said, you wasted it. We went through all of this risking our lives to get you this water that you desired. And you mean you would pour it out? But it wasn't a waste. It was an offering. Hallelujah. It was an offering to God.
Yes, amen.
What are we willing to offer God?
Yes.
What are we willing to offer him? Father, thank you for showing us the way, leading us into understanding what extravagant love is all about. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to give unto you, may we be extravagant in our love. May, first of all, before we bring anything to you, let it be of such that we've given ourselves to you, that we belong to you first and foremost. So therefore, when we give ourselves everything that we have, all that we are, all that we manage, belong to you. So you can tell us what to do with what we have in our hands. So speak now, Lord, as we prepare this offering unto you. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.